Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
Reports have come through that up to 60% of Czech Airlines employees could face the axe amid downsizing negotiations. The number of COVID-19 cases has dropped again after a record jump was registered earlier this week. And Czechs are marking the 70-year anniversary since the judicial murder of Milada Horáková. The upper management of Czech Airlines is currently discussing the possibility of large-scale downsizing with related trade unions. The potential layoffs could impact up to 60% of the company's 700 employees, news site Zdopravy.cz reported on Friday. Trade union representatives have told the Czech news agency that the possibility of downsizing could be a consequence of negotiations between Czech Airlines' mother company Smartwings and the Czech state, which have thus far proved unsuccessful. One of the conditions that the Czech government has put forward in case of a bailout is that the current number of employees is retained. Pavel Sokolík from the Aviation Employees Union confirmed to the Czech news agency that negotiations are taking place. He said that 29 employees are likely to see their contracts cancelled on Monday, with the main wave of layoffs taking place in the coming months. The number of COVID-19 cases registered in the Czech Republic on Thursday reached 93. It was 34 less than on the previous day, which saw 127 cases, the highest daily number in 2 months. The number of cases detected since the start of the epidemic is 10,870. 345 people have died of the infection or related complications, and 7,633 have recovered. Currently, 2,892 people are fighting COVID-19. Czechs are marking the 70th anniversary of the death of Milada Horáková, a democratic opposition leader who was sentenced and executed in a communist show trial on June 27, 1950. On June 26, the day before the anniversary of her execution, recordings from the trial are being transmitted by sirens and messages in the Prague metro as part of the civic initiative called Milada 70, Murdered by Communists. Banners with a portrait of Milada Horáková and the caption Murdered by Communists are hanging on important buildings in Prague, including the National Museum, Rudolfinum Concert Hall, the National Gallery's Trade Fair Palace, or Charles University's Faculty of Law, where Milada Horáková studied. Commemorative events are also taking place at a symbolic grave of the politician at Prague's Vyšehrad Cemetery and in many other places around the country. A member of the Czech military police has died after one or more shots were fired in an army munitions store in the town of Týniště nad Orlicí in northeast Bohemia on Thursday evening. The military policeman was on active service at the time and died on the spot as a result of his injuries, military police spokeswoman Nikola Hajková said on Friday. A police investigation is currently underway. The 496-hectare arsenal is the Czech army's main munitions store and includes explosives, guided missiles, and other pyrotechnical equipment. It is guarded by the military police. The Committee on the Budget of the Chamber of Deputies approved the government's proposed 500 billion crown deficit in the Czech Republic's 2020 budget on Friday, recommending that MPs in the lower house do the same. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš's amendment to the proposal, which lowers the government budget reserve by 100 billion crowns, was also approved. Czech price comparison website Heureka.cz filed a lawsuit against Google at the Prague Municipal Court on Friday. The company is suing Google for nearly 395 million crowns in lost profits because the American internet search giant continues to abuse its dominant position on the market. Heureka.cz CEO Tomáš Braverman told news site Lupa.cz. According to Mr. Braverman, Google favored its own price comparison tool Google Shopping ahead of other competing platforms. The malpractice was already punished by the European Commission in 2017 when Google received a 2.42 billion euro fine. The American search giant subsequently implemented changes to its system. However, seven European price comparison companies, Heureka.cz among them, say these are insufficient and have decided to file lawsuits against Google. The chairman of the Communist Party of Bohemia and Moravia, Wojciech Filip must apologise to the former head of the National Gallery in Prague, Jiří Fajt, for his statements last year in which he accused Fajt of mishandling the gallery's funds and using a sponsor donation to add 1.3 million crowns to his salary. The District Court for Prague 1 has ruled on Friday. According to the judge, Mr. Filip did not support these accusations with any evidence, only using articles on the internet to support his statement, and was therefore lying. The Communist Party chairman's defence that Mr. Fajt, as a person of public interest, has to be confronted with the accusations was dismissed. And finally, as for the weather, temperatures are set to rise across the Czech Republic on Saturday, reaching 28 degrees Celsius. However, showers are expected to continue, with storms likely in the northern and eastern parts of the country. My name is Tom McEncrow, and that is all the news for now.
Hi there, listener. This is Radio Prague International, and I'm Ian Willoughby. Today, the Czech nation pays tribute to politician Milada Horáková, executed 70 years ago this Saturday. A new exhibition in Prague brings together Alfons Mucha and a contemporary pioneer of street art. And later, journalist Jana Cíglerová compares life and customs in the US and the Czech Republic. And all that's coming up in today's program. The show trials put on by Czechoslovakia's communist regime in the 1950s were the largest in Eastern Europe. Almost a quarter of a million people were convicted on trumped-up charges, of whom 178 were executed for political crimes. Milada Horáková, a democratic politician in the First Republic and a resistance figure during the war, was the sole female political prisoner to be executed. Brian Kennedy has the story.
Milada Horáková, a popular social democratic politician, was the only woman officially given a death sentence. She was hanged at dawn on the 27th of June, 1950. To mark the 70th anniversary of her judicial murder, an audio collage of recordings from the trial are being transmitted in the Prague Metro on Friday as part of the civic initiative Milada 70, Murdered by Communists. The daughter of a pencil factory owner, Horáková was born in Prague on Christmas Day, 1901. At the age of 17, in the final year of the First World War, she was expelled from high school for taking part in an anti-war demonstration. Nonetheless, she went on to earn a law degree from Charles University in 1926, the same year that she joined a Democratic Socialist Party, whose acronym in Czech is ČSNS. Horáková had been working in Prague's social welfare department for a dozen years when the Second World War came, at which point she joined the underground anti-Nazi resistance. The Gestapo arrested her in 1940 and sent her to the Terezín concentration camp after brutal interrogation. 4 years later, a German court sentenced her to 8 years for her political activity, although the Nazi prosecutor had sought the death penalty. After the war, Horáková rejoined the ČSNS and served as an MP until resigning from parliament after the communist takeover in February 1948. The Czechoslovak secret police arrested her and fellow party members in September 1949, as prosecutors dispatched from Moscow began helping to prepare a case. Horáková had one daughter, who was 16 years old at the time of her mother's arrest and trial on bogus charges of treason and conspiracy. Jana Kanska spoke to Czech radio ahead of the 70th anniversary of the judicial murder of her mother.
Every untimely death hurts terribly and takes a long time to resolve. 70 years is truly a long time, but some memories cannot be forgotten, and it is still difficult and painful at times. But one must accept it and embrace that missing person's qualities. As for my mother, this means the immense honesty and bravery that she showed during the entire trial, principles for which she eventually sacrificed her life.
Each show trial had a script. After months of physical and psychological torture, the accused admitted to their guilt and agreed that their execution was a just punishment. Only Milada Horáková refused to play her role. In her final statement before the court, She said her conscience was utterly clear, as she had betrayed no one, least of all herself.
What I did consciously. I take full responsibility for my actions, and that is why I will accept the punishment I will be given. I stated to the state security authorities that I stand by my beliefs.
The verdicts of treason and espionage were annulled in 1968, during the time of the Prague Spring reforms. But it was not until after the Velvet Revolution that Milada Horáková was fully, officially rehabilitated. In 1991, she was awarded the Order of Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk, First Class. The 27th of June, the day of her execution, was declared Commemoration Day for the victims of the communist regime in the Czech Republic.
Thank you for that report, Brian Kennedy. A new exhibition which got underway this week at the Kampa Museum in Prague brings together two distinctive Czech artists, separated by more than a century. The Art Nouveau painter Alphonse Mucha and contemporary pop artist Pasta Onar. Ruud Frankova has more.
The exhibition called Elusive Fusion marks the reopening of Prague's Kampa Museum after more than 2 months of closure due to the coronavirus outbreak. The museum is hoping that the unusual show, which brings together two distinctive Czech artists, one born in 1860 and the other in 1979, will help boost visitor numbers, which still remain very low. Jiří Pospíšil is the chairman of the museum's board of directors.
The concept of the exhibition was created by respected art historian Karel Srb, who has a long-term interest in both Alphonse Mucha and Pasta Onar. He wanted to create a dialogue or perhaps a confrontation between these two artists, who are separated by nearly a century, yet they are using similar topics and similar techniques.
The exhibition showcases over 25 best-known posters by Alphonse Mucha, alongside more than a dozen paintings by Pasta Onar, one of the pioneers of the Czech graffiti scene. Perhaps the biggest highlight of the exhibition is a lesser-known painting by Alphonse Mucha, made in the year 1900 for the World Exhibition in Paris. The large-format painting, bringing together the themes of ancient and Slavic cultures, was loaned from the collections of the Museum of Decorative Arts in Prague.
According to experts, it is Alphonse Mucha's largest work of art that he made before starting his work on the Slav epic. So those who love Mucha should definitely come to see the exhibition, because apart from some of the notorious pieces, they will also have a chance to see a painting that hasn't been on display for quite some time.
Mr. Pospíšil says the restrictions related to the coronavirus outbreak, which have closed down the museum for more than 2 months, have taken a hard toll. Despite the fact that the museum recently reopened, it is still facing extremely low attendance, since there are almost no foreign tourists in Prague at the moment.
The museum is a private institution managed by the Jan and Meda Mládek Foundation, and it is to a large extent financed by entry fees. It is mainly the visitors themselves who pay for the operation of the museum, so the three-month closure has obviously had a strong impact on the museum's budget. As a result, we cannot publish as many art books as we usually do, and we cannot add new pieces to our art collection. And if the coronavirus crisis continues in autumn, it will threaten the operation of the museum itself.
The exhibition Elusive Fusion will run at Prague's Kampa Museum until the 25th of October.
Now, in the final part of our programme today, let's meet Jana Cíglarová, a Czech journalist who lived for some time in the US and draws fascinating comparisons between various aspects of life in the two countries. Czech journalist Jana Cíglarová recently published the book Americký deník, or American Diary. Compiling a series of columns, she wrote during a stay in Florida between late 2016 and last summer. When she came to our studios, The conversation took in US and Czech attitudes to parenting, education and friendship, as well as Ciglarova's experience of reporting from Trump's America. But I first asked her what had been the hardest single thing to get used to in the US.
The food, because I have three small kids, they would all go to school there. And here in the Czech Republic, I really started to appreciate it way more. We know that what we give to the children at school is what we should give them, so they get the healthy stuff at school. So you can actually, you know, like not be as healthy, or you can have a pizza here or there because you know that they're getting the warm meal and healthy stuff. Is the total opposite at their cafeteria, school cafeterias. It's everything is processed. Everything's got a huge amounts of sugar. The kids' lunches, the kids' breakfast, you get free breakfast at U.S. public schools, most of them or some of them. They're packed with sugar. My son, the oldest son, did a project on sugar, and he found out that you should have only 25 grams of added sugar a day if you're a 9-year-old, which he was back then. And just the breakfast, governmentally approved breakfast at school cafeterias has 75 grams of added sugar. So imagine that's why the kids are obese, the kids are hyper there because you get all the sugar energy. So that's I didn't like that at all.
You mentioned being there with your three kids, three boys. How did you find the US approach to parenting differed from the Czech approach?
It was shocking to me, I have to say. They don't let their children experience anything closely, remotely exuding any kind of danger, right? The best comparison I found when my oldest son would, the school there ends by the end of May, but in Czech, it ends by the end of June. So my son, the oldest one, would go always as soon as the US school ended, he would go back to Prague and he would finish his grade here. And they had school trips, right? And the US school trip from his class was they got on an air-conditioned bus. They went for 5 hours on a highway. They drove to St. Augustine, which is a town in Florida that is proud of having one of the oldest building in the U.S., 100 years old. And then they stayed at a 4-star hotel and overnight, and then they went back the next day. And it all cost $370. The school trip in their Czech school was they took tents, they went hiking in the woods, they would climb up rocks, they would even have a dip in a lake or in a river in their underwear, unheard of in the US. They would let them explore, they would let them be adventurers, maybe get even a little hurt too from time to time, because that's what happens when you take risks. And kids in the US, they don't have that experience. So they're much slower in some development, yet they're faster in other development.
What about teaching in the States in comparison to here in the Czech Republic? I have the impression that Czech education is more based on kind of tough love. The kids have to work hard. Everything is about getting the jednicky.
Yeah, the marks, right? So the Americans have much better, like, way treating kids, maybe even too much, but they encourage them so much. They praise them so much, you know. My boys weren't very used to being praised because that's not the Czech culture. That's not what they get at school. And there, they just blossomed because they were so appreciative for everything they did. So they wanted to do more. And they also work hard because they're used to work hard from the Czech Republic. So I was thinking to myself, you know, the Czech kids are way, work much harder. So if we just could praise them a little more, they would just be so much more self-confident.
But isn't there a danger in the American approach where if you praise very average performance, you're giving the kids the false impression that they're doing well?
Absolutely, that is. And I saw it there so many times. You know, there were kids who were like at sports classes. Some of the kids would just go and run, you know, and try hard. And other kids would just be lazy. And everybody gets praised the same, right? So that's not fair. Yeah, you're right, totally.
Sadly, one fact of life in the US, of course, is shooting incidents, including at schools. Was that a danger that concerned you?
Absolutely. Every day you think about it, not only because it happens in the news and you see it all the time, but also where we lived. It was 20 minutes from the Parkland, Stoneman Douglas School, and I reported on it. So I was there. I was on the scene. And it's very, very present. And not only that, But also the kids have, after the shooting in Parkland, Florida schools, public schools, they introduced a law under which you have to organize school drills every month for the kids. So, and you know, kids don't know that it's a drill. So my boys will come back from school and tell me that, you know, like, we practice, but in the first moment you don't really know. That's the point. So all three of my boys, they know how to hide when there's an active shooter in school. They know where they have to hide. They know how to crawl so that they pretend they're dead. They know how to run away from the school, that they have to have their arms up or that they have to hold the shoulders of the person in front of them, that there's always a school desk that they should like turn upside down so that it's like a protective shield. And it was heartbreaking to watch them telling me that.
In the acknowledgements in the book, you mentioned a couple of American friends of yours. And I wanted to ask about the concept, the very concept of friendship. And are there differences between the Czech and US approach to being a friend?
Oh my goodness, so many. And I failed so many times, you know, like, so Czechs are not very open. We are more reserved. We take time, you know. Americans are not like that. So it would be confusing sometimes for me. I would mistaken some interpersonal reactions. I would mistake it for like a real suggestion of friendship, you know, like we have to do a barbecue, we have to do that, we have to do that. And for me, that would be like, if I offer this to someone, I mean it, you know, like, but there it's not as much meant.
A lot of Europeans, I think, kind of laugh at Americans because of their fake friendliness. But I think it has a certain value. If you go to a shop and the person is like, have a nice day and so on, and they greet you, which at first I found hilarious that somebody was employed just to say, you know, how are you doing or whatever. Yeah. But I also think it has some value that it's much nicer and simply better than just the grumpy person who, you know, is doing you a favor by serving you in a shop.
Absolutely agree. And so they ask you, how are you? Okay, the simplest question. And the Czech people say, oh, I'm terrible. Oh, my goodness, it's so bad. It's so, my back hurts. And, you know, my family, you know, worse. It's everything's terrible. You know, could be better is the most optimistic reply you get. And then the Americans, they say, oh, I'm fantastic. I couldn't be better. You know, everything's great. Yeah, I'm really enjoying my life. None of it is true, right? Not even the Czech side is not true. The American side is not true. It's not true that they're having fantastic life. And it's not true that we only have a bad life. But the way, it's an approach and it's the way you see it. And there's always, you know, the glass is always either half full, half empty. And Czechs rather see it half empty. Americans see it half full.
You're working as a journalist, of course, in the US. What were the stories or the issues that you covered that you found got the biggest response here in the Czech Republic, either from editors or from readers?
So I'm a journalist, right? I started in the news, so news would always be my heart. The type of work that a foreign correspondent does is always like the political news. You have to watch, you know, follow the media. And then the local news, you know, the things that you can do in the terrain, like reportage, you know, Martina Navratilova, the tennis player, lives nearby. So I would go there. And these things, this type of things where you do and actually do the work yourself. And then I would have this column, right, like a Saturday column about the most simplest thing, how a mother of three boys puts up with you know, living in predominantly Hispanic community in the US. And I was hoping my political analysis would be the number one thing that the readers would go to, or maybe the reportages. But no, it was the Saturday column that the readers found the most compelling and liked it as much. And, you know, that's why my publisher eventually suggested that we should make it into a book, because people really liked it. I was pleasantly surprised.
And how was Martina Navratilova?
So she's great. She's very Czech. She, you know, even though she's American, she's still very Czech. So she keeps her distance. We had spent some time together before, but interviewing her in her own environment was, she was the most open in my interview I've ever experienced her. And you know what was really, I was surprised that there were the congressional elections, the midterms, in November 2018. And Martina was actually like in the streets, driving people to the voting places, helping people to register for voting, or maybe then at the voting offices, she would help them, you know, read the, because it's way more complicated than in Czech Republic. So she was actually hands-on, a helper and very
active.
She's
a big Democrat supporter.
She hates Donald Trump, like number one, .
Was the election of Trump a kind of godsend for you in terms of you had a big story to cover? Because every day he says something, he's always making news.
So we originally went there for a vacation, and it was December 2016. We went there for 3 months, and I wasn't expecting to work there, you know, much, if at all. But it was in January, the next thing you know, the inauguration happened and Donald Trump was inaugurated. And it was already obvious that the Trump administration would be very dramatic, no matter what side of the political spectrum you look at it. So when we got back from the vacation, I actually suggested to my editors back then at Mladá Fronta Dnes that I would like to work there as a correspondent. Would you support me in that? And they said, if it doesn't cost us anything more, yeah.
We've all seen images of journalists being intimidated at Trump's rallies, with the press being booed and so on. Is that something that you experienced, and did you feel a sense of threat?
Absolutely. And I went to Orlando, where Donald Trump announced officially that he's running for the second term. And I never experienced that. You're a journalist, you're a reporter on the scene. So I interviewed people, I talked to people. It was before the official part started. And then when the official part started, Eric Trump came on the stage and Don Jr. came on the stage. And they started to be very negative about media, about journalists. They would point fingers at us. And all of a sudden, the people, the Trump supporters, started booing at us. And the same people I had interviewed just a few minutes before came to me. And then they were like mad at me, like, who are you? Who do you write for? What are you going to write about me now? And, you know, like they let me photograph them. They told me their stories. And all of a sudden, I was their enemy because Trump told them so. And such a hostility I never felt before as a journalist. It was sad.
Now, of course, you're living back here in the Czech Republic. What have been the hardest aspects to readjusting to life here?
So one of them was the weather, of course, because it's so much harder for me and I think everybody else to feel optimistic and positive and full of energy and energized under this kind of weather. And the other thing is the general negativity among Czechs. I don't know what's wrong with us, but we just assume, I think it's something from the communism times, we assume the other to be an enemy, and we're suspective of you, of the other people, of other people, and the first reaction is negative, whereas the Americans are the other way around. And when you live there, when you experience this, you don't understand why people are negative for no reason to you. And the third thing is sexism, is everyday sexism. The level of respect that women have in general in the US, when I don't count the president's actions, is so very different from here. And you get, women get everyday insults here, like they're dismissed, they're disrespected. We came back in the summer, so, you know, I get so many stares. And, you know, I'm not like a pop icon walking around. I'm a middle-aged woman, you know, like I'm... And nevertheless, you know, man stares and catcalling. And it's so present that, again, when you get unused to it, you're shocked at the level that you experience here.
Did your boys find it hard to get used to living here again?
Okay, so I have three, and there's a big difference. The eldest one loves it here. He's very Czech. He loves svíčková. He loves everything Czech. He loves koledy, you know, the Christmas carols. If he could stay here and live here forever, he would be the happiest person. His best friend is Czech Donda, you know, so he's got very strong ties to the Czech Republic. So he couldn't wait to be back. But the youngest one, it was interesting. The youngest one is 5. We got there when he was 2. So his whole mental life is there. Emotional friends, everybody is there. He speaks both English and Spanish because that's what you learn when you are a kid there. So he basically cannot wait for us to go back, which we are going back, actually. Hopefully.
Journalist Jana Cigarová, who I spoke to back in January of this year. And I'm afraid that's all we have time for today on Radio Prague International. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening, and speak to you again very soon.